Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Can Moshe make them do a better job than Bibi Netanyahu? That's the question we're going to be asking today. Link to the Tamar Yonah show here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I'm also going to be talking to you about what it's like for an IDF soldier who has to make arrests of dangerous terrorists. If you've been listening to my show throughout the years, you'll know that I have I have four sons who are IDF soldiers. They're either in active duty or in the reserves. And both of them right now, I had one last week in the reserves and another one who was in active duty, as I said. Both of them, unfortunately, have to be those soldiers that go in to the viper's nest. They go inside the viper's nest to try to extract one of those dangerous snakes. It is life-threatening. It is dangerous, and all that's why I went last week. I'm going to tell you what they have to go through, what they have to prepare for, and what happens to them. You're never going to believe the stories I'm going to tell you on how they are attacked by Arabs. And I'm not even talking about the terrorist Arabs, but just the neighbors in the village who are trying to prevent the IDF soldiers from making these arrests. It is very dangerous. And I'm going to tell you this as from the perspective of a mother of a soldier, but also what my son has had to go through, what our soldiers are going through. And the difference between a soldier and a policeman is that a policeman is an adult, makes a decision as an adult to go into that field. But our IDF soldiers, let's remember, they're high school graduates drafted into the army and made to do this. Not that they all want to do. It's very scary. But they are trained to do it. They have to do their job. So I'm going to tell you all about this. When we get back, then we'll be speaking to Sackett, who's the chairman of this international political project. Don't go anywhere. This is going to be a very, very exciting show.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
So we're talking about on the show today, can Moshe Feiglin do a better job than Bibi Netanyahu? And we're going to be speaking with Shmuel Sackett. He is the chairman of the Zehut or Identity International Political Party. He'll be answering your questions. If you want to call into the show, you can do so. Our lines are open. He'll be joining us after this first segment because I want to talk to you first about what it's like to be an IDF soldier who has to make arrests. And I want to say here that the difference between police making arrests and an IDF soldier is that a police officer is already an adult and he made this decision to become a policeman as an adult. Whereas our IDF soldiers, and I'm speaking here as a Jewish mother, a citizen of Israel who has four sons,
all in the Army or in the Reserves, they are drafted after high school. You're taking a bunch of high school graduates and putting them into uniform and training them how to be soldiers. Now, a lot of these kids would rather be doing a lot of other things. They'd rather be going to college or touring the world or getting a job and making some money or getting married and doing other things that they want to do. But no, here in Israel, you have to go and do service to protect your country. And God bless our wonderful, wonderful boys and girls who, after high school, go and do their service and are protecting the borders of Israel and protecting us inside of Israel as well. I also want to give a hat tip to all of us parents who have to send our kids off to the army or off to war or off to dangerous operations. And that's one thing that happened to me this last week. As the terrible terror attacks were taking place last week, my son, one of them is a paratrooper. He was in Miluim, which is the reserve duty. And part of his duty, which is a month long, is to go out, in at least in this part, what he was doing. I mean, at different times he goes to do his reserves. They'll have different things for him to do. But one of the things he had to do in this time was to go and make arrests of terrorists. This is extremely dangerous, my friends. My son and his buddies were sent in to the viper's nest, sent inside Arab villages who hate the Jewish people, who are murderers, who are terror members, who want to kill us and try to kill us. An IDF soldier, let me just give you some information that I'm allowed to give you. There is much more information I'm not allowed to give you. But I remember calling him one evening last week and I was saying to him, are you sleeping enough? Because, you know, they don't get to sleep very well over there. And he said, Ima, mother, I had around 45 minutes of sleep this last 24 hours. I said, well, you need to sleep then. Go to sleep. If you're talking with me now, you must have time. He said, no, Ima, I'm going now because we have to make arrests tonight and we have to go and we have to study the map of the village, how to get in there, where to go, where we're going to be putting our forces. And we have to go in there and make these arrests. And of course, my heart as a mother is my son is going into the viper's nest, the viper's den, and it's extremely dangerous. He goes in and they make the arrest, which was not easy. I'm not going to go into all the details, but the guy resisted arrest, as expected. The Arab resisted his arrest. And it was a difficult thing. Some of the neighbors were alerted to this. Usually they go in the middle of the night or at some whenever they feel that it's the time to go in. They don't want to go in broad daylight because then all of the people see that they're there and they'll start to attack them. So you go in the night when people are sleeping into these villages and you go and you do it as fast as possible. You try to extricate, you try to get out that terror member or that suspect and get him out and you get out of that village as well. But unfortunately, because he resisted arrest and there was noise, other people, other Arabs there were alerted and they went to their rooftops and they started throwing blokim, which are like heavy cement bricks on top of the heads of our soldiers there. And I want to say that one soldier, I even talked about this on my show yesterday, was killed when a heavy marble sized brick came down upon his head, even though he's in full battle gear with his helmet. It split the helmet open from that height of the roof coming down on his head. That heavy marble brick killed him. So when our soldiers go in there to make arrests, their lives are in danger. What one of the Arabs did last week was they took a live cat and they threw it down from the rooftop onto the commander of my son who was right next to him. Poor cat. Poor commander. You think that's bad? A few weeks ago, my other son, who is in the Kfir brigade. Kfir means like a lion cub. It's the largest brigade in Israel. He's a sergeant there. His unit, when they had to make arrests of terrorists, were not only attacked by blokim, or these heavy cement bricks that they throw down on your heads, but also a washing machine that they threw down from the roof of the building on top of the soldiers. Can you imagine a washing machine coming down on your head? But it gets worse. You're not going to believe this, what I tell you. They took a live donkey and they brought it up to the rooftop. And they took a live donkey and they threw it on top of the heads of the soldiers. Where is PETA? Where are all these left-wing groups that are always worried about, if they're not worried about Jewish lives, they're worried about animal lives? Hypocrites. The poor donkey. How frightened he must have been. What a horrible death. And thank God our soldiers were not killed from that. Throwing cats off rooftops and donkeys off rooftops. I want to say something else here. I'm holding my hands here. A copy of the Jerusalem Post from Friday. The headline is, and I want you to tell me what's wrong with this headline. Tell me what's wrong with this headline. The headline says, terror murder of two soldiers. Remember that happened last week? We buried two soldiers last week. Terror murder of two soldiers sparks West Bank unrest. Netanyahu threatens tough action against Hamas. What is wrong with that headline? Anybody in the chat room? Anybody want to call in? Let me read it one more time. Terror murder of two soldiers sparks West Bank arrest. Netanyahu threatens tough action against Hamas. I'll tell you what's wrong. Netanyahu, after seeing two of our soldiers killed, a baby buried, other civilians shot and wounded, a soldier attacked in his pillbox. After all of these attacks, stonings on the roads, rock throwing, life-threatening things, and burying our children last week, Netanyahu threatens tough action against Hamas? Threatens? Why aren't you doing it, Prime Minister? Mr. Prime Minister, I want to love you. You're my Prime Minister. You're the leader of the Jewish people today. I want to brag about you and say how great you are. I want to have pride in you. Why are you threatening only right now? We should be doing action. It's not enough to have the long arm of Israel bringing justice. Justice is not enough right now. We have to put a stop to the future attacks, to what might happen today after I get off this mic, to what might happen tomorrow, because they're planning more and more attacks against us. Apparently, the deterrent factor that we have is not working. Bulldozing houses down is not working. They're building them back up again afterwards. Terrorists are getting salaries from the Palestinian Authority. And you're only threatening Hamas? Oh, you killed two soldiers. Well, we're going to get tough with you, Hamas. And then what happens tomorrow when, God forbid, someone else is killed? Oh, we're really going to get tough with you now, Hamas. And then someone else is killed. Oh, well, we really, really mean it now, Hamas. Why does it say Netanyahu threatens tough action against Hamas? Why does Hamas still even exist? We can take it out. We're stronger than they are. And if you don't want to take it out, I know your reasons why you don't want to, Mr. Prime Minister. You want to see a weak Hamas because you don't want to have to go into Gaza and deal with it. So keep the Hamas in power, but just keep them weak enough that they're going to have to behave themselves. But it's a failed strategy because we are being picked off almost daily here in Israel. Attacks against Israel daily. That is in our newspapers here in Israel, threatening Hamas. After all of this, just threatening Hamas. The prime minister also made a Facebook post. You can go on my Facebook and read it. I reposted it there. Very interesting, some of the things he says he's going to do. Positive things. Let's hope he does it. I have so much more to say about that, but no time. When we get back, we're going to be speaking with Shmuel Sackett. He's going to talk to us about Zehut International. Can Fagelin do a better job than Bibi? We'll be right back.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things. But at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. And the question we're asking today, can Moshe Feiglin do a better job than Bibi Netanyahu? Here joining us today, we have his second-in-command, Shmuel Sackett. He is the chairman of the Zehut International political party here in Israel. They are planning on running in the next elections. And if you have any comments or questions, feel free to call into the show. Our lines are open. Our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Welcome to the show, Shmuel Sackett.
Thank you very much, Tamar, and good morning to everybody. Shalom from Israel.
It's very, very good to have you on, Shmuel. So people are very, very frustrated. There's demonstrations now in the center of Tel Aviv, in the center of Jerusalem, and other places of the country, of people who are sick and tired of being victims of terror attacks, sick and tired of seeing the Hamas and the other terrorists being able to hit us anytime, anywhere that they want. They call the shots. They open up rocket fire against us when they want to. They start shooting at people waiting at bus stops whenever they want to. And it seems that we've lost our deterrent factor. It seems that we've lost our ability to be able to protect our own citizens. And so what does Moshe Feiglin and the Zehut party have to offer us that strong, strong Bibi Netanyahu and brilliant Bibi Netanyahu can't or isn't?
First of all, Tamar, I think the answer is that this is actually a perfect time for people in Israel and around the world to understand that this right now is an election year. Elections, even if they're held on time, and most times in Israel they're actually held a bit early, but even if they're held their scheduled time, which is in November 2019, 10 or even close to 11 months away, this is an election year. And this is the time that the people have the power. They could send a message to the elected officials, whether it's Netanyahu or Bennett or anybody else. We are no longer going to support you. We are not safe. Our children are not safe. And we no longer support you. This is the time for action. Everybody always meets me and says, Shmuel, what can I do? I'm a simple person from Ashkelon. I live here in Netanya. What can I do? And the answer is, this is your time. In an election year, you have the power to make the changes. And that's exactly what we're talking about. Because these demonstrations, and I started the Zohar Tzemach movement 25 years ago together with Moshe Feiglin. We were doing a lot of demonstrations, but now they've become silly. We run out to the streets. The last demonstration in Tel Aviv was, please, government, protect us. You need to protect your citizens. That's not the message. The message is, we're replacing you. We're changing you. We're finding new leadership. We don't want you to protect us. We are changing your leadership. Go home. And this is exactly to answer your question, Tamar. We're going to be replacing Netanyahu with a Feiglin-led government by the Zehut party. This is what we need to do. A completely different direction, not just another, a little bit, someone who's a little bit stronger, says things in a little bit different way, but a whole new direction that puts the people first, that puts Jewish values first, that does what needs to be done to protect the citizens of this country.
Okay, so why don't you give us some of your policy? What would you be doing that the government today is not doing?
We need to hit terror with a very, very heavy hand. First of all, one of our major things regarding the Arab problem is that we want to do what they want. And that is, recent polls have been taken in Berzit University and also in Anajach University. These are the leading universities, the Arab universities inside Israel, that 70% of Arabs living in Yehuda Shomron and Gaza want to leave the country. 70% want to leave. And therefore, it is a very humane gesture on our part to help them fulfill their dream. We want to help them leave. We want to do like a nefesh benefesh, but the other way around. For those that want to leave, and we're talking about 7 out of 10 tomorrow. We're talking about a tremendous amount of people who we will send out of the country with money, and we will make the necessary connections where they could find appropriate place to live, Australia, Canada, United States, various countries in Europe. And this is something they have to know, that their future is guaranteed outside Israel. Here, we immediately shut down the Oslo Accords. We immediately take away the Palestinian policemen. We immediately bring back the Chayalim into these areas.
Chayalim are soldiers, for anyone who doesn't know.
Soldiers, thank you. We don't let it become just completely null and void. Right now, you can't step into Ramallah. You can't step into Jenin. You can't step into Shechem. You can't step into Beit Lechem. All these areas, Kalkilia, are off limits. That's not going to happen. There will not be any places in Israel that are Judenrein without Jews. We will retake control of the country, and we will enforce Israeli law throughout the country.
All right. So you tell me, if it's such a positive and peaceful way to be able to solve a lot of the problem by encouraging 70% who want to leave to leave and enable them to leave, why isn't the Prime Minister doing that today?
Because he doesn't want them to leave.
Why?
He wants them to stay because he needs them here. This is this situation that has been going back since day one, from Ben-Gurion and right through everybody, Ariel Sharon, Netanyahu, and so on, Ehud Olmert and Ehud Barak and everybody in between. The Arabs that live here, they feel, the Israeli leadership feels, there's some way we can get along. It's not nice to pay for someone to leave, even though that's what he or she really wants. Every country has its population and has the people that live with them, and they always try to work something out. We have opened our eyes and realized that this is not something that can ever happen in terms of just a peaceful arrangement. We'll just sit down and work things out. We want our biblical lands back. We want Hebron. We want Joseph's tomb. We want these areas, and we want to be able to walk through these areas without fear. It's a utopian dream to say, no problem, we'll just walk in these areas. That's not going to happen. We have to look at reality and do the things that are politically incorrect, even though it's humane and it's what they want. But to actually start a program to assist Arabs to emigrate from the country is not a nice thing to do. We are prepared to do that.
All right, just go over one more time why Bibi doesn't want this to happen.
Because Netanyahu and everybody else, they want the Arabs here. They don't want a Jewish state.
Why?
Authentic Jewish state as we want. But Netanyahu talks about the Bible as some kind of a book and some kind of stories, but he's not connected to the land as we know it, as you are, as I am, as many of your listeners are. We see this land not just as a place for Jews to live. We see it as the return of the Jewish nation to the land of Israel after 2,000 years. We see it as our eternal inheritance. We want to build the Beit HaMikdash, the Holy Temple in Jerusalem. Netanyahu does not want that. Not one prime minister of Israel wants to build the temple, because it's something that is will signal a different era. We want to build a temple. I'm about to go now to my morning prayers, and I will pray no less than 10 times to rebuild the temple. This is something that we want. To us, it's real. To us, it's alive. To us, it's in our blood. This is not shared by the secular Zionists.
Okay, so let me just stop you there for a moment, because I think that if there was a consensus taken today in Israel, not that Jews in Israel don't want the temple to be built, but I think that most of them would say, you know, we shouldn't do it. It's going to cause World War III, and they themselves wouldn't want it. So how does that work out with you?
Look, if they would have, you would have asked these people, should we even declare a state in 1948? What should we do in 1967? It's a good thing we don't ask people what they think, because I don't feel that the state would have ever gotten off the ground. This is why you have leaders that take the bold decisions, that make the moves that are very courageous and at times very, very dangerous, because the average person just wants quiet, leave me alone, I have my family, I have my job, my kids are in school,
the status
leave me
quo,
alone.
The establishment, right, and they usually don't want things to change.
Right, but I do want things to change. I moved here from Long Island, New York, not because the KKK was burning crosses on my lawn or because they were painting swastikas on my house. I came to this country with my wife and children in order to see the final redemption, to do what I can in my small way to bring these dreams to reality. I don't just want a flag being waved on Yom HaAtzmaut, Israel Independence Day. I want the dreams of redemption to become reality.
Do you think that the average Israeli who is not as religiously fervent as you are is going to be able to identify with the Zuhut Party when you're talking like that?
The answer is yes, because we're going to educate him in this way. The whole point about the Zuhut Party is to educate him or her about the Jewish values that he really wants. Yes, the average Israeli lights candles on Friday night. The average Israeli puts on tefillin mail, that is,
a few
times during the month. The average Israeli fasts on Yom Kippur. The average Israeli has a male, of course, a circumcision. And these are not laws mandated by the state. Thou must circumcise your son. And the Torah says that, but Israeli law does not say that.
Okay.
Yet 97% does that.
We have to hold it. We have to hold it right there. Everything he said is true, by the way. The Israeli people, whether you're religious or not, are very traditional in those things. When we get back, I'm going to be asking Shmuel Sackett why another small political party. We'll be right back, everybody. Don't go anywhere. And feel free to call in if you have any comments or questions.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobeker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
All right, we are back here at the Tamar Yonah Show on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Our guest today is Shmuel Sackett. He is the chairman of the Zuhut International political party here in Israel. And my question to him, we are actually talking about, can Moshe Feiglin and the Zuhut party do a better job than Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud, which is currently in power and currently runs the government? If you have any comments or questions, if you want to weigh in, now is the time to call. If you don't call now, we're not going to be able to get you on the air. There won't be time. So call now. Our numbers are on our homepage at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com, and you can get your question in. So when we left the last segment, Shmuel, I was going to ask you, why another small party? I want to explain to our listeners that we have 120 Knesset seats in our Knesset. And we are voting for not people or personalities, but political parties. And the first 120 political parties, seats that are taken up by the parties, those go in. There is a certain threshold that a party has to pass before it can earn that first Knesset seat. If they only get, let's say, 30,000 votes, and let's say the threshold is 100,000, I'm just throwing out numbers, then they won't make it in, and they won't have any representation. So here we see the Zuhud party. It currently is not in the Knesset. The bigger parties are. And a lot of people who do support Moshe Feiglin and support you, Shmuel Sackett, that want you in the Knesset, are worried that if we vote for you, we're not going to pass the threshold. You're not a big enough party. And why don't you join in with other smaller right-wing parties? Why don't you join in with Bennett, the Bayit Yehudi, the Jewish Home Party, and get a higher position in there, be one of the top 10, and go into a party that we know is going to be in the Knesset next year? What do you have to say?
Okay, Tamar, first of all, that's a great question, and I want you to hear the answer. It's a little bit of a lengthy answer. Two elections ago, Israel had a brand new party, and was led by Yair Lapid. He still runs a party called Yesh Atid, There Is a Future. Okay, this is his party. He had never been in the Knesset before. He had no political experience. He was a TV, analyst. He had his own television show and so on. And he decided to run for the Knesset. In all of his interviews, nobody ever asked him, why a small party, Yair? How come, you realize you're going to do damage to the Labor Party or to the Meretz Party because he's more to the left? Nobody asked him that question. And he ended up almost becoming the Prime Minister of Israel. Yesh Atid, in their first election, received 19 seats. Likud, that wound up running the government, received 21 seats. That's a difference of, believe it or not, just one, because had one gone from Likud to Lapid, they each would have tied at 20, and the president of Israel would have had Lapid appointed him as prime minister to set up the government. So he went from zero to almost prime minister of the country. Why did he do it? Because he never worried about passing the minimum. He never spoke about just one little niche of helping settlements or building 10 more classrooms in Beit El. He spoke about the one thing that the right wing never talks about, leadership. Here in Israel, the knitted kippot, the religious Zionists, as we call them, we're leading in the army, we're leading in education, we're leading in settlements, and we're dead last when it comes to leadership of the country. Yeah, the Yairs will lead. Yair Lapid and, God forbid, Yair Netanyahu. These are the Yairs that will lead Israel for the next 30 years. Along comes Moshe Feiglin and says, listen, you're right, Tamar. We don't want another small party. We're not looking to be a small party. We're looking to be a leadership party. And this is what we're going for. Every election in Israel has a surprise. Two elections ago, it was Lapid, as I just mentioned, went from zero to 19. This last election was Moshe Kahlon, went from zero to 10. If they can do it, why can't we? And this is what we're telling the people. Enough with the small parties, enough with the little sectorial parties. We're going for the leadership of this country. Zuhut is going to be the surprise of this election. Support us, and we will have a political revolution as we've seen around the world, whether it's Italy, United States, Brazil just now. Around the world, there have been political revolutions. It's coming, Tamar, here in Israel, led by Moshe Feiglin and Zuhut.
Okay, so I'm just going to say this. I want to see you in the Knesset, Shmuel. I want to see Moshe in the Knesset. But I'm going to be playing hard devil's advocate right now because I want our listeners any doubts that they might have, I'm going to bring them up and then you can answer them. This is the best thing to do. Okay. So I can say that Yair Lapid did well because Yair Lapid is a pretty face. Yair Lapid was new and fresh and people wanted change. They didn't know what he could do or what he couldn't do. And Moshe Feiglin, on the other hand, has already been in the Knesset. He's active in the Likud party. People pretty much are familiar with him. And Moshe Feiglin, this is something that worries a lot of people. He wears a kippah on his head. This alone might scare other people into voting that maybe they might like his policies, but they see he's religious and maybe they can't identify him, identify with him even if they wanted to. Yair Lapid brought in people from other parts of the Israeli spectrum. He brought in even a Haredi Jew, which was an American guy living in Bet Shemesh.
Lipman.
Right. His name escaped me for a moment. Very nice guy. To show that, look, you know, we encompass everybody. We love people. You can be Haredi and still join our party. What does Moshe Feiglin, with his keep on his head, have to offer people who might be afraid to vote for him? And that can it be inclusive? That, I mean, also Bennett did it with Shaked. She was not necessarily a religious person. He brought in somebody who was more secular. And that made people feel more comfortable to vote for the Jewish Home Party for Beit Yehudi. What is Moshe Feiglin doing?
So first of all, over 50% of the people that will be running on our list are not religious. They do not have kippot, and they're not identified as religious people. They are traditional, yes. As we mentioned before, Israel as a whole is very traditional-oriented, but they're not religious as we know it. But with all due respect, Tamar, and I love you and your show and the wonderful work you do on Israel News Talk Radio, I don't think you're analyzing the situation correctly, if I may. And the reason why Lapid went from zero to almost prime minister to 19 seats is not because he's a pretty face or he has some gel in his hair. And that would really be not talking nicely about the Israeli people who just voted for a pretty face. Hey, I'm also a pretty face. The bottom line is that that sector doesn't ask, I'm sorry to say this, the ridiculous questions that the right wing asks. The right wing always asks these questions, well, how does everyone else feel? And we have to join with Marzel, and what about Smotrich, and what about Bennett? And all these questions that the right wing asks, the central part of the country, they don't ask these questions. Nobody asks these questions to Kahlon, and nobody asks these questions to Lapid, and that is why they succeeded. We are stuck in this little mud of just being in our own little sector, and we can't seem to get out of it. All we do is we talk about ourselves. You know, I'm sorry to say, with a heavy heart, I'm saying this. 2 weeks ago, literally 2 weeks ago, there was a big dinner in New York celebrating and honoring the settlement of Beit El. The speaker of Knesset, Yuli Edelstein, was the guest speaker there. 1,000 people were in a hotel in Manhattan celebrating the beautiful settlement of Beit El, and they announced plans to build 10 new classrooms in a girls' school and to expand the swimming pool, and people were giving money, and that's fine. Since then, the terror attacks have been happening where? In and around Beit El. Givat Asaf, right next to Beit El. Right next to Beit El. Ofra, which is right next to Beit El. As if to say, the Arabs are saying, go, have your dinners. Talk about little girls' school and 10 more classrooms and a swimming pool. But we're going to take over this country. And along comes Moshe Feiglin and says, listen, we're talking about something else. Yes, it's important to build more classrooms and to build everything that the people need in the town. We are talking about the one thing that nobody else talks about it on the right, leadership. We are upset at Netanyahu, and we're equally upset at Smotrich and Bennett because they have failed us, they do not protect us, and this is something that needs to be changed. We are going for the leadership of this country.
Well, you know, I have to say, Shmuel, that again, I'm going to repeat this. I hope that you and Moshe Feiglin get into the Knesset, that we always see the land giveaways that happen. They're almost always under a right-wing, so-called right-wing government, under the Likud.
Correct.
And that's because when the left wing is in power, there is an opposition to the left wing. The right wing stops the left wing from doing a lot of things that they want to do. But when the right wing is in power, there is no opposition to the right wing when it wants to cave in and give up the land of Israel and make more concessions for peace and sacrifices for peace, etc., etc. So we absolutely need, in my opinion, Moshe Feiglin in the Knesset, Shmuel Sackett in the Knesset. But again, I'm still, you got to convince me some more to have some type of stronger block that we know that we're going to get in. We don't want our votes, God forbid, to be swallowed up. But we'll have you on again, Shmuel, and Moshe Feiglin, if he wants to come on anytime, he can come on and join us as well, because we do want answers. We do want leadership. We do want unity for the Jewish people, whether we're right or left, religious or secular. We're all brothers and sisters, and that's what we want to have here, some unity and strength and goodness for our people. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Shmuel Sackett.
You're welcome, Shalom.
And wait, Shmuel, before you go, a quick website?
Website, thank you, is zehutinternational.com. Zehut is Z-E-H-U-T. So just one word, zehutinternational.com.
All right, there you go, folks. Go and check it out. Leave your comments on the page where the show is podcasted. Thank you, everybody, for being with me. I'd love to read your comments. We'll be stay tuned for some more great programming here at Israel News Talk Radio. Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Karras from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.